Hello, everybody. My name is Juan Carlos, and welcome to OCR Net, where we highlight amazing coaches, athletes, and everyday people from the OCR and trail communities for fun, unscripted, and unedited sessions. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with, now, Margaret, I'm going to attempt to say your last name. I'm going to see if I can do this. Leibovic.
How I say it. Yeah.
Okay. I always thought that the IC at the end sounded like a shh.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, probably over time my family has modified the pronunciation okay. as they've traveled between many different countries.
Okay, so it is truly a pleasure. Thank you for making time. We've been talking about, you know, back and forth about coming on and then what would be a good time, of course. And so, and you have a newborn, no?
Well, now she's 2 years old.
2 years old, so yeah, not a newborn.
Yeah, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Four. Wow. My God. So thank you so much for making time to coming on to OCR Unedited. It truly is a pleasure to have you on. So how are you? How's everything?
I'm good. Training's going well. I'm getting ready for taper time leading up to the Spartan Beast at Blue Mountain in 2 weeks.
I know. So before we touch base on that, let's start with, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Margaret Leibovic? I'm just going to leave it with Margaret.
Yeah, sure. I could tell a very long story, but I'm from the U.S. originally. So I grew up in New York, just outside New York City. And then I ended up moving to Canada about 5-6 years ago. Okay. And before that, I lived in California for a while. So that's actually where, so growing up, I did track and field. I was a pole vaulter, actually, which maybe would set me up well to one day do OCR. There was lots of full body strength training. But then in university, I ran sprints. So 100, 200 meters, was big into lifting, was pretty bulky and strong then. And then when after I graduated, I moved out to California in San Francisco. And that's where I started to get into trail running, switched to doing marathons, did a number of marathons. And then I moved to Canada. And because my husband is from Canada, so we decided to move up to Toronto and had kids. And then now I've been, just recently training for my first OCR race, which should be interesting.
I know. So what was your sport growing up and how did you discover OCR?
Yeah. So growing up, I played volleyball and then I found track and field because I tried playing softball when I was a kid, but I was not good at the hand-eye coordination part, but I was always pretty fast. So I discovered that I was fast and I could run. So I got into sprints, long jump, pole vault. So loved all that. And then, discovering OCR, it was because after moving to Toronto, I was trying to find a gym to work out at or wanting to go to. And then we ended up buying a house in Leslieville neighborhood and this Gym One Academy opened. Yeah. Fun fact, One Academy opened the day my son Cameron was born when he turned, he's now four. Like literally the same day, but it was when I was getting back into working out after having Cameron, I was like trying to find a gym to go to. And this place sounded really cool and fun. So I started doing classes there and, like Jesse Bruce, super inspirational, really motivational, and seeing like the whole community of people, all these people into these obstacle course races. At first I was thinking like, what are these people doing? This is kind of crazy. I'll just stick to running. But seeing everyone having lots of fun made me decide, hey, I'm going to sign up and try this.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, that's where we met, of course, through One Academy, through its amazing One Army family. Good choice. One Army, One Academy, great choice. Now, You have not done an OCR race yet.
No, I haven't.
You've done OCR simulations. You've done Jesse's classes of Everest, which is close to, because of the running aspect, because of the transitioning from running into an up to an exercise and then back to running, or getting into one, you know, transitioning from one exercise to another one in a rapid time. And it's, you know, so you've done that. And so now you're training for Spartan Race Canada, Blue Mountain, which is coming up in 2 weeks. So what are your thoughts and feelings, and how is your training in One Academy helping you?
Yeah, I love those classes, which is part of the reason I decided to do this. And then even through the pandemic, when the gyms weren't quite open yet, they had these park series workouts and park workouts. And so I was doing a whole bunch of those, which was fun. So I think that helped to add into the mix things like, carrying sandbags around and, some of these park series Jesse put on. This is like you're running through the beach on the sand, all sorts of things outside the gym, which are fun.
Yeah.
I think I was like, okay, I'll just sign up for this. I chose to do the Beast because it was more running. So I was like, okay, if that's what I'm good at is the running part. So I'll pick the longer distance one where being perfect on the obstacles would be less of a factor. But then I was like, oh, like half marathon distance, that's easy. That's fine. I'll be fine. And then I started researching a bit more, falling into YouTube and stuff. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be a really long race, a long time. These obstacles are hard. And I had never, even in Everest, there is the rig and the rope, but I'd never actually successfully gone up the rope or done any of these. Uh-huh. And so I out to Mike Ma, who's a trainer at One Academy. And I said, Mike, help me learn how to do these things. So I've been doing some one-on-one sessions with him where after even just one session, I could like totally get up the rope. I was fine. It's more about, I think it's about the technique aspect for sure and confidence. I think what's been hard for me is like I get nervous or scared. I'm like, how am I going to do this? I can't do this. Or with the grip strength, things like the rig and stuff, I just get psyched out sometimes, like, oh, I'm gonna slip, I'm gonna fall. But doing some of that specific practicing has been pretty good. And now like on my easy runs and stuff, I go by the playgrounds in the neighborhood, do the monkey bars, do all of, just try to throw some of that in. I feel a little nervous, but I think I'm well prepared.
We all go through that. Oh, men and female, when it comes to OCR, you know, oh my God, am I practicing this enough? Is my grip there? What if it's wet? What if it's this or that? It's like, you know what, just as long as you keep doing what you're doing and what you're doing is good. And you have Michael Ma, you have Jesse and the whole crew and team there to help and support and assist. I mean, you're going to be just fine. So what are you going to be running in, age group or elite?
In age group. So that was a thing too. And I was signing up. I was like, what should I sign up for? And then technically I couldn't sign up for the elite because I'd never done one of these before. So I just defaulted to the age group. Then I was talking to Mike. He was like, you should get a letter to bypass and get going into elite. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do that. But then I'm like, no, it's my first time doing it. It's okay. I'll do the age group one. Podium.
I think you can do well there. I truly think you can. I think, oh my God. For those that don't know you, I mean, I've seen you. I remember the first time I saw you. How strong and how quick you are. And sometimes it's hard for one to see that because you can't take yourself out of the box and see in. But, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people, not just myself, have said, you know what, you're very good and you're very strong. You can do this.
Yeah, which is really great. And I'm very competitive. So at those, like the Everest classes and things like that, like I need to win. I like go after it. So it'll be interesting to see how it is on the race course.
You keep that same mentality going into something like this. It's going to help you because you need to go in confident. Going into Blue Mountain, is very different. I mean, it's, you know, going up and down hills.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have that confidence and that mental aspect up there at par with your confidence going in there that you can do this, you can do anything in order to win, right? Especially when you're competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing where back when I lived in California and San Francisco, all sorts of big hills, like right outside the city. And I did those, like the North Face 50K race in Marin and all of this, like, oh man, I was so fit for the hills back then. And then now living in Toronto, you try to find a good little hill. There's lots of like little ones you can do, like up and down. And I did do that Summit 700 race with you 2 weeks ago. And that I had signed up specifically to prepare. I was like, okay, we'll prepare on the mountain. But then they ended up changing the course and it was just a smaller loop at the top. So I've yet to really properly train on the big hills, but I don't know, hoping the strength and work and stuff will help.
We were supposed to go for a run today early in the morning, but yesterday I had a race that really took me out. And then I had to relax. Just one of those.
Yeah.
But there are trails like Rouge that you would have to do numerous times on, but you can get the elevation in. The same thing with Seton Hill and a few other places in Toronto that you can go, but you have to know where to go. It's not mm-hmm. like back in California where you got mountains all over you. As soon as you walk out, there's a mountain right there.
Yeah.
So it's very different over here. Yeah, you're right. Now, what is it that what's a main concern for you going into? I mean, even though it's in 2 weeks, what's a concern for you going into Spartan Blue Mountain?
That's a good question. I think it is the grip strength type obstacles and dealing with that when I'm tired. It's just like one of those things when everything's dry and I'm fresh, it's super easy. I can totally do monkey bars and rings and things. But when it's like, for example, at the end of those Everest classes, when you're all sweaty and really tired, and that's when you have to do the rig across. It's always really challenging. But I guess I'm good at burpees. So if worse comes to worse, but trying to have the confidence going into that, I guess also the nutrition logistics aspect, I've been practicing for that as well, but it is a longer race. So
how is that coming along?
Goes well. That's pretty good. So that was one thing where that Summit 700 race, even though we didn't get to do the whole mountain up and down, it was like 2.5 hour effort. And so practice with gels and things and felt pretty good.
That's good.
So yeah, that's been going pretty well. And I've been trying to do longer efforts where like I run before and after the Everest class. So it still makes it like a lot, like 3 hour morning, you know, a big efforts and things. And so practicing nutrition in that as well.
Oh yeah, it's important. It's mm-hmm. truly important, and it's one of those trial and errors. It's a lesson. It's a trial and error. I mean, I had to. My nutrition now is great because I had so many trial and errors going into OCR races where I would try certain gels and it just wouldn't sit well with my stomach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I had some of that from marathon training back in the day. Had like a few years of working that. Although that's very, it's like a different with marathons where you're just like, it's constant running. There's less of the like starting and stopping type aspect.
Yeah, because I mean, OCR is compromised running, really.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're stopping and then you're doing an obstacle and then you're back to running obstacle back to back or running back to back obstacles. And then you're back to running. So that can really also take a toll on it. Can really, you know, fatigue can really set in and really tire mm-hmm. you out. And so nutrition is really important because, for example, when you're doing obstacles, you want to try and maintain and have that strength to be able to do an obstacle.
Yeah.
Right. And so fueling and then having the proper fuel with you is very important.
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully that goes well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like I've never done it before. Like, I don't know what I don't know. So we'll see.
You're going to learn so much. You're going to learn so much. But that's the beauty of it. Because you get to, you're going to see who you really are when you finish that, when you cross that finish line, you're going to know exactly where you are and what you need to work on. And bless, I mean, this is the first one that you're doing. It's the last one. Are you doing the whole trifecta?
No, I'm just planning on doing the beast.
Okay.
And going all out on it. Probably also my husband would be annoyed at me if I was spending a whole other day racing more.
Okay. Maybe you should bring him along.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my husband and my kids are coming. So that'll be fun. We rented a place at Blue Mountain. So I was planning on staying around and spectating on the second day with the kids and stuff. So that could be fun.
And there you go. And also you're gonna have so many mental notes at the end of it that you know exactly what you need to work on come next year, next season. You're gonna be so ready.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Like, I think you were the person who was saying you should do the whole trifecta. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should. I'm so easily influenced. If someone says I should do something, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
The
sure.
Reason is because I see the strength in you. And whenever we've done, for those who don't know, so we've done Everest classes and we've done those Endure Challenger series that Jesse puts out at the park. And I've seen you, and I'm sure many others have seen you at how strong you literally are. It's like I said before, it's sometimes it's hard for one to know how strong one is and how good one is at something until somebody that's out looking in, seeing you do it and telling you that you are good, that you could do this. You have the strength to do it. That's why I said you should do the trifecta.
Yeah, see, you're convincing me here as we're on this call. I'm thinking, okay, let me look into this.
But at the same time, taking something like this to see where you fall in and to expose those weaknesses doing the beast can also really help you as to what you need to work at in order to be successful come the new year, right? Come 2022 in May when the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So One Academy, it's helped you so much ever since you started. Talk to me about One Academy. Talk about how it's helped you and what you love in the classes.
Oh, yeah. I love One Academy. Anyone I talk to, I'm the biggest fangirl of One Academy. Yeah, the classes, super fun and motivational. And then even I did them all while I was pregnant with my second child, Anna, like way up till almost to the end. And you could modify things. Like, it's pretty... people are always like, One Academy, it's so intense, but it's like, they support a pretty good range of like, you can modify exercises and things like that. And then through the pandemic, actually, ironically, I feel like I got closer to the community through the pandemic. And while gyms were closed, I did the virtual classes on Zoom every week, carved out a space in my basement and on my deck when the weather was nicer. I have a really small house in Toronto and it's like, there's not a lot of space. So I don't have like a big setup or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But through doing those virtual classes, the challenges, like last winter, Jesse did this Strava segment series where every week you would post a different segment, like everyone had to try to go out and like go on the leaderboard for that.
Yeah, I did it a few times.
I feel like it literally like got me through the winter because I'm like, oh, what's the segment? What are we going to do? Like, it was something to look forward to every week when you're like in lockdown and there's nothing to do. I'm like, this is the exciting thing I'm going to do. And like, you'd maybe like run into and see some people out there. You're like, whoa, other humans. And so that was really fun. And like, I think that really did help my running foundation for leading up to this spring. And then, yeah, in the winter also, I worked with Mike again as a running coach. I set a goal to try to break 20 minutes in a 5K, just like for something to train for when there is no races or anything.
Yeah.
And so I hit that back in June. So that was fun. So doing those like running training. So I was pretty focused on running in the winter and would do those virtual classes to like keep up with strength, which they were actually really effective. Like I felt like I stayed in pretty good shape through when the, and then when the gyms, well, first when we were in the park and then when the gym reopened, I was like, yes, I want to spend so much time. So I do, I've been doing like three or sometimes even four classes a week, really focusing on all like the strength stuff that was missing out from while gyms were closed.
Yeah.
I feel like it made me really appreciate it so much more. Like now that you're back in the gym, it's like a playground. You're like, whoa, this barbell, this heavy thing. I appreciate this so much.
Yeah, I know.
Before you could, I mean, I don't have a barbell setup or I don't have anything like that. I went like 18 months without like touching a barbell or something. Not 18 months, but yeah, I love One Academy so much. It's great. I'm always excited to go there. Such a good community.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the nail where, I mean, they accommodate, and Jesse and the staff has been really, really creative at coming up with new ideas, bright ideas, like really good ideas to help everybody, not only to maintain and keep healthy and fit through the pandemic, but also to get people engaged and engage everybody, engage the community and strengthen the community. One Academy has done that. And so that's why so many people are not only loyal, but they're not regulars, but they're loyal and they love it. I love it. I mean, I'm up north in Toronto. I'm in North York. And so I will find a way to get down there because it's helped me. I like training alone. But to go and see Jesse's face and then go see everybody else and then the One Army family and go train with everybody and then, you know, just cheer for one another as we do those classes. And sometimes those classes, like the Everest class, can be really, really, really painful, but at the same time it helps us. It's like, for example, you're going to be doing Spartan Blue Mountain, and I'm sure that Everest has helped you elevate your game in order for you to feel confident enough to register and go do that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right.
Also, even after like I mentioned, after having my first kid is when I started doing the One Academy classes, and I registered for, I ran a half marathon about, it was over a year after Cameron was born, but my weekly running mileage was way lower than it had used to be. Like there was a time when I used to, well, I've never been like that crazy of a runner or something, but I would maybe run like 60 to 80K a week or like something like that, but it was much lower. And I still ran just off of a half marathon personal best. I think because of all those like warrior classes and other where you're doing like strength and speed and all these things and like much more full body fitness. So, I mean, even regardless of the OCR racing, I feel like the classes are really good just for getting you in better shape.
Oh my God. He's got so many classes, the Everest, the marathon, collision, warriors. What's another one? Overcome.
Strong.
But each one is so unique, especially for whatever goals that you're trying to set for yourself and what your goals are or whatever needs it is that, you know, you're looking for. He's got every class he's got set out it fits everybody in their own personal way. And so I love that. I love that about a One Academy, that it's, you know, I can go on a Wednesday and do a class and come out feeling like, oof, I can tackle anything today.
Yeah.
So what inspires you, Margaret? What motivates you?
That's a good question. Sometimes when, well, even Jesse will say things like, remember your why. And I'm always like, why am I doing this? I think I just like to push myself or to feel alive, like to see, to take on like challenges for the sake of challenges. I don't know. My husband always says he thinks like, I don't know, I'm weird or something, but I think just trying to challenge myself physically or mentally, even at things like work and stuff like that, I always like give it 110% at whatever I'm doing. So I think with the, these physical challenges at the gym and running, it's like just seeing what I can do and setting that goal and having a goal and going after it. It's, I think having those goals helps you in the like every day. So I can like remind myself of like, I'm trying to go after this race. I want to be prepared for it. But then I think beyond that, just having a good sweat every day really helps my mental health. Yeah. Helps me be way less grumpy. I'm just like in a much better place. Plus then also some of the like social interaction I get with the working out as well, I think has a double effect of helping me feel happy and put together. So yeah, maybe not a great answer to the question of what inspires me. I don't even necessarily know. It's just some inner drive.
No, that's good. Now, let me go back to OCR. Have you had a chance to watch OCR videos, whether on YouTube or catch like a pro live savage race on a Saturday morning? And
yeah, I have started to watch a lot more of those and fall into it on Instagram too. Or like I watched the OCR World Championships live on YouTube. A few weeks ago or whenever that was. Yeah, I'm the type of person who likes to prepare for things too. So I'm like, okay, I signed up for this. What am I getting myself into? Let me fall deep, deep into this rabbit hole and try to watch it all.
Now, what are your thoughts when you see something like that? What comes to your mind? What am I doing? What am I getting myself involved?
Yeah, no, I think it's like that it's pretty badass. My feeling, like seeing these really strong people conquering these obstacles. And I guess I've been watching the like elite pros, not like seeing people struggling, you know, seeing people who are doing it well. You're like, wow, that's, I guess partially you have an idea of like, oh, that's doable. I could do it. But then you go, it's like sometimes you watch someone so effortlessly do a rig and then you like go to try and you're like, oh man, this is actually way harder than that person made it look. But yeah, I think it's pretty inspiring how, confident and capable these people are at conquering these races. And you can tell they're really fit and prepared and they've been training. I think that's what inspires me too, is seeing a lot of the behind the scenes of people like being so serious with their training and all the details of like, what are they eating, sleep, rest, nutrition, like 24 hours a day. I've been trying to take some of that mentality too, of like, what am I doing all around my training to set myself up for success, like to sleep better. I haven't been drinking alcohol recently. Well, like little things like that. Like I have experimented here and there with dropping alcohol for a bit, but the past few months now, I think since signing up for this race, I'm like, okay, let's just cut out the alcohol so that I'm better recovered for my workouts, things like that.
And it makes it so much easier to remove that because you have a goal in mind, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I am. So I haven't touched alcohol in a while just because I have all these goals, and it makes it so much easier for me to remove all that negative and concentrate on what I need to do. And it makes it so much better. It's so many friends ask me, hey, listen, you want a beer? It's like, buddy, I haven't had a beer in a very long time because I'm always training. But that for me makes me proud. It makes me, because I'm so dedicated and I love what I do. It means a lot to me. And so when I have goals like that, it's like, whatever I need to remove, it's easy for me to do so because I have all these things in place that I need to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly.
What I like about what you're doing and then coming in, going into the age group, and then hopefully to see you in the elite is that we need more female OCR athletes coming into the sport. It is so important that it's one thing to have, there's a lot of, before it was very male driven and a lot of focus was always on the men promotion and then everything was just solely for men to getting, you know, to shining a spotlight on them. But it's pivoted also now where the spotlight is also on the females, but there isn't that much engagement or there isn't that many females coming into the sport of OCR. So it is really important that we do our best to engage, start conversation, include And it just engaged females to come into the sport of OCR so they can compete in. So I'm really happy that you're coming in and that you're going to participate. That's another amazing female athlete coming in into the sport. And I can't wait to see you succeed.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I'm definitely all about that too. And I mean, I'm personally much more drawn to following women. I previously I've been very into running. So I follow all these elite women runners and definitely, having role models, seeing people like yourself is very, that's inspiring and that's motivating.
Well, yeah, no, it's awesome. Who are some of the people or who are some of the athletes that you follow that inspire you?
Oh, well, so in the, I've come from more like the road running type world, but like Shalane Flanagan. I don't know if you've been following along. She's doing all 7 world major marathons.
That's right the marathon now. Majors.
Like, yeah, but all, because this is a weird year where all of those races are all at the same time. Because a bunch of the ones from the spring, like normally the Boston Marathon's in April, but it's tomorrow, and the Chicago Marathon was today, and that's that right. never happens that they're like back to back. And that's... so Shalane's like an awesome American, one of the best American marathoners of all time, and she's retired, but she's like come out of retirement just to do this like for fun, and so she's like her goal, her like casual goal is to do them all in like sub 3 hours because she has like. I don't know, she's from like probably 220 something personal best. And so, she's, she's a great one. There's also, I really love following Gwen Jorgensen. She's a triathlete. Yeah. And she's a mom too. I also end up following all these moms, elite athletes. Their personal story resonates with me. Yeah. Like Gwen Jorgensen's son is about the same age as my son. So it's been interesting to follow her through that. And she transitioned from being triathlon focused to running focus. There's probably a number of, of other ones, but there's definitely this growing, like women are starting to get more of the spotlight, or maybe I'm just in my own bubble of, because I'm a woman, I get all this targeted content, but I think there's lots of, these women runners getting a lot of focus, which is really great.
There's nothing wrong with being inspired and following a female athlete who is a mom and also an athlete. That to me is just an amazing to be a mom. I mean, with the responsibilities behind it, but also to make time for your training and to be so good at your craft, especially to be able to go and run back-to-back marathons in what, less than 3 hours at a crazy pace. That's incredible. That is truly inspiring. So maybe you can do the same thing one day.
Not the level of these. So it will be interesting. Yeah. One of the interesting things with OCR as a sport is that it's not as mainstream as things like road running and marathon running. And I can see it.
Yeah.
Well, see, maybe it's because I've fallen into the community now but seeing that it is it's a newer sport and it's growing. It'll be interesting to see as more athletes, like if it can attract talented athletes, like there's probably a lot of people, a lot of really fast runners out there who could become really awesome OCR athletes. They just haven't tried it.
If we're just talking OCR, there are amazing OCR female athletes around the world that are new moms or their moms, their mothers. And there are they are phenomenal OCR athletes. And to put them together, from being a mom and also being athletic, that is, my God, that is truly inspiring. How do they do it? I don't know, but they do it and they always find a way. And that is just so inspiring to me. And I love following all these amazing athletes. Who are some OCR athletes that you follow that just, you would like to, be like when you hit the course for the first time?
Yeah. Well, I haven't. I've only just started to dip into following some of the OCR content, yeah. But Lindsay Webster,
of course,
obviously, she was like the first person who I had like heard about or saw when started. And so I've been following her, and the fact that she's Canadian, that's awesome too. Yeah. I guess I can't think off the top of my head of other women who stand out to me. I could like look for recommendations for more people to follow.
I mean, because here in Canada, we have numerous from coast to coast, from all the way from BC to here to all in Quebec. There's so many, like Lindsay Webster is one of them, you know, Amanda Nadeau, you got Ariel Fitzgerald, you got so many. Also in the States. Oh, I'm in the States. I mean, of course, there's a lot more, but I mean, if you can actually find them, and you can find them when you, if you go and start searching OCR athletes, you'll see them, and then you can follow, and then they all have unique stories behind them. And it's just truly amazing. I've had the pleasure of having some of them here and to learn about them. It's just, once again, it just comes down to that word, that one word that I keep saying and mentioning is inspiring. I'm just in awe at how amazing these human beings are.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now that's inspiring for you. I mean, that must get you like really wound up and excited to hit the course in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I am really excited to just go out there and see where I'm at, because it is also harder to compare versus like road running. Your time is like pretty comparable times between races. So you can know, like, this is my marathon personal best and that's her marathon personal best. And you can grade that way, but it's harder to know where I would stack up. Yeah. And it is also just a different, it is a different sport. I've always been pretty strong for a runner. So I'm excited to see how that mix can apply to the OCR racing.
You know, there's a lot of people don't understand, you know, your road running and trail running are two different beasts here. Your pace is not going to be the same. You know, just because your pace on road is good, it doesn't mean that that's going to carry forward onto a trail, which is totally different. I think that, have you and Michael come up with a plan for what your strategy should be at Blue?
Not specifically. I should follow up with him on that. Yeah. Give me advice. I think I'm just going to try to pace myself, like not go out too crazy fast. And I do have some of the trail running experience, at least things like even that Summit 700 one a few weeks ago, started out trying to take it easier, keep heart rate under control, not totally go nuts. So I think that's going to be my focus, is like making sure I don't hit like max out effort.
hold
on to like a sustained threshold type of pace. But yeah, it is a lot harder in terms of pacing. That's one thing I find challenging with like the trail running and hills and things like that. When you're doing workouts, it's much more based on effort than on like a pace, versus if you're getting like a road workout, you're like, okay, 420 pace, go. And you like dial that in. So I think like, yeah, and trying to, yeah, not burn myself out on any of the obstacles too bad, being like strategic about, I don't know, not like using all, or like we have been trying to work on some of the things like with the grip obstacles and technique, and trying to not, or to like minimize the amount of numbers of times you're touching things to like release and hold. But that's one thing that, I guess what just makes me nervous is that it's all, there's a lot of unknowns, like haven't seen the course yet. Don't know what the course is going to be like. It's like makes it a lot harder to mentally prepare versus like when I've done road races in the past or something, you like know the course, I like you watch videos, you look at maps, you like look exactly, you know, like try to understand and like, okay, at this point, I'm going to feel this way. At this point, I'm going to feel this way. But I haven't, I feel like there's gaps in my knowledge to be able to do those visualization exercises right now. I think I will. So I guess that's a question. When do they release the course maps? How far ahead of the race?
It varies. It varies. From what I have experienced, some, you may get a week, you may get a couple of days. They'll put it out so everybody can take a look. Right. And plus the course map will also be there when you arrive at the event. It'll be on the big board and you can see it. But I, you know, do they release it ahead of time? Yeah, of course. Yeah, they do. So people can have a good look and then have a good understanding of exactly how your course is going to look like.
Yeah.
I don't look at it.
Really?
I don't look at
the map. Like I want to mentally go through and think about like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Then this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
So even when I've done like other kinds of races in the past, I'll like simulate what the elevation would be like, or what, like when training for the Boston Marathon, you try to time it so you have like hills at certain points in your long run and things like that. But yeah, maybe that's being like overthinking it.
What I do like to, there are things that I do want to know, and that's elevation. How much elevation? So that way, and I know exactly what to prepare for, how much climbing I'm going to be doing, how to set out in my head, how to plan out the race in my head. The course, you know, as soon as I don't like to look at it and study it. I mean, it's one thing that they posted and I see it. Okay, boom, move on. I don't need to look at it because I don't want it to dwell. For me, it's I don't want to dwell on something. I like to go and hit that course and then hit it and then deal with everything that comes my way, right? I don't want to start thinking about, oh my God, I got this. I'm at this point. I'm going to feel like this at this point. Or, oh my God, I don't want to start thinking and overthinking things, right? Because sometimes that's how I am.
That is a good point relative to like, you also don't want to psych yourself out or be worried about the obstacles that are in the future. It's like, be here in the here and now. Focus on, okay, this is the one I'm conquering now. Have faith. I'll have energy for those other ones when I get to them.
Yeah. I don't want to know where the hills are exactly. I want to hit it hard. And if there's a hill in front of me, then I know that that's what I have to hit. And that's what's in front of me. That's my obstacle going up that hill. If I start thinking, if I start knowing, if I start studying the map and I know where the hills are, that's going to psych me out. That's not for me. That's not good for me. I don't want to know where the hill is. Right. I guess I'm wired very different than others. Oh my God. So, we talked about your feeling and nutrition, and so you got that covered. And plus you have some of the amazing, you know, some amazing guys like Michael Mile and Jesse and the One Army family that help and, you know, support you and answer any questions that you may have. What are you right now? So you're tapering right now, right? You're tapering. You're cutting down on your training, and now you're just gonna relax and cruise, and then just get ready for Spartan Blue.
Yeah. So I have to work out. Mike is gonna follow up with me some specific advice with the tapering, but planning to reduce the quantity of training but keep up the intensity. Or that's been my experience with things like training for other running races, of still do keep your legs fresh with some like maybe shorter intervals or things like that, but not wearing myself out. I won't do like a long run next week or anything. I guess you said you are going to do the Everest class next week. Even 1 week before,
I'm gonna go and do the Everest on Saturday just to keep myself fresh. But am I gonna do any long runs? Am I gonna do any? Because I've been doing races every weekend, and I can see, I can feel a little bit of tiredness, right? When you start doing something like that. So I need to just get away from that no more and relax and prepare myself. Am I going to do any long runs? No, I'm not. As of yesterday's race, I'm tapering off.
Yeah.
But Michael's right. I will keep my legs fresh. I'll probably go for walks. I'll probably do light, you know, very, very slow little light runs here and there. But more, I guess for me, the thing that I need to work on is more stretching, keeping my legs stretched, rolling them, go to one academy and do a couple of classes, you know, one or two, but you know what, let's keep it to one. One this week and do the Everest. I'm still debating with the Everest on Saturday, but to do a class is just for me to keep fresh.
Yeah, exactly. And I think tapering version would be do the class, but don't do a long run after.
Exactly.
That's what I've often been doing is adding on running after the end. So yeah, probably just, yeah, do only the class.
Yeah. Then. So there you go. I'll be there. I'm sure I'll see you there.
Yeah. It would be good to get a chance to do, yeah, the rig and the rope and all that a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Margaret, thank you so much. Oh, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and give you, you know, talk to you about Spartan Blue, what's coming up, your training, how can people reach you? How can they communicate with you?
I think if they find me on Instagram, M Leibovic is my handle, which if you throw my name in the podcast description, people can find me. I think I'm the only Margaret Leibovic in the world. So if you try to look me up, you would find me.
Okay. So thank you again for making time to speak with me today. I know that you have a busy day. So
yeah, with kids and everything. But yeah, no, thank you for having me. This is fun to chat. I like getting involved in this OCR community.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you got One Academy to back you up and help you and get up there. And I also can't wait to see you at Spartan Blue. Can't wait to cheer for you and support you along with many others at the One Army family out there to support you and see how you do. I'm really excited to see how you're going to do.
Yay, thanks. Yeah. So I'll hopefully see you around the gym soon.
Yeah, I will see you. You have a good rest of your day. For everybody that's listening and watching, I hope you guys are inspired by Margaret. You guys, if you want to reach out and contact her, please do so. You enjoy the rest of your day with your family. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Enjoy, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.